The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
For the ultimate plan of salvation that God set in motion well over 2,000 years ago, most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God, we come to you, O Lord, to say thank you. For some actually made plans for today, and yet, whether by your divine or your permissive will, they've actually gone home to glory. But you decided that you would allow our lives to roll on for just a little while longer. And so, Lord, we don't want to take it for granted that we are here. Lord, we believe that as long as we're breathing, there's hope. So let somebody know that there's hope in that hopelessness, that there's healing, that there's deliverance, that they can be set free in their hearts, their minds, and their spirits right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you are a God who can do anything but fail. So let somebody know that even now, that you're blessing. Even now, it's a blessing to be alive. While we heard the scripture in Jeremiah, there's somebody here up under the sound of my voice who's not sure, certain why they're even still here. Speak to them right now and let them know that you have a purpose and a plan for all of us. And for that, we say thank you. As a matter of fact, Lord, we say thank you for your purpose in spite of us. Lord, we haven't dotted every I, crossed every T, but you've been just that good to us. Will you forgive us for our many sins, our weaknesses, our shortcomings? For Lord, we recognize that our sins are many and all of our sins are against thee. Now, Father God, as we prepare to hear a word from you, we ask that you would prepare our hearts and our minds. Pray, Lord, that there will be good ground for the seed to fall on, for the seed is good. As a matter of fact, dear God, even as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased, Lord, to stand in my body, think with my mind, and speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me that you would be seen. Silence me that you would be heard. For you said that my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Let them hear your voice. Let somebody hear a voice of comfort today. Let somebody hear a voice of peace today. Let somebody hear a voice of comfort today. We'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise and honor and the glory. And it is truly in Jesus' name for Christ that we pray. And let every heart say, amen. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you do so at this time. Physically able to stand. For those of you who are visiting, we stand in honor of the reading of the word. For the Bible says in the Old Testament that when they opened up the book, they stood. Of course, if you're not physically able, we understand. Glad to see each and every one of you out here in the house of the Lord one more time. John 15, verse 13. I'm going to read one verse. This morning, I've chosen the New Living Translation. I believe it may be up on your screen. It says that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. I simply say it again. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. On today, just for a little while, we want to talk about Memorial Day. Memorial Day, a day for remembering, rejoicing, and for ringing out. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen. 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 I quoted this already and I'll say it again from President Franklin D. Roosevelt. Amen. He once said that those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win them. President Woodrow Wilson probably said it best. said that a nation that does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today or what it is trying to do. We are about a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about. Yes, tomorrow is Memorial Day, as we all know. And to some, Memorial Day might be just another holiday, just another day off work, or it might be just another excuse for us to have an outdoor barbecue. But to those who have lost someone that they love because of war or of military action, tomorrow is more than just that. It's Memorial Day. It's a day set aside to remember those who gave their lives for the freedom that we as Americans all share. Tomorrow, all across America, people of all ages, ethnic backgrounds, and faith will join together to remember the sacrifice that our servicemen and women have made in wars past and present so that we can enjoy our freedoms. Those brave men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I could be here on today. You know, the Bible is also full of memorials. The words remember, remembrance, and memorial are found at least 230 plus times within the pages of your Bibles. God reminded his children in the Old Testament and in the New. In the Old Testament, he reminded his children to remember that they were once slaves in Egypt. He commanded them to observe the Passover as well as all the other holidays as a day of remembrance. In the New Testament, Jesus said that every time we approach his table, we are to do it in remembrance of him. This and every other Memorial Day is important to us as Americans and as Christians. And it's important to us for three reasons. First of all, as I said in the title, Memorial Day is a day for remembering. For remembering what, Pastor King? Well, as Americans, again, it's an opportunity for us to remember the brave soldiers who sacrificed their lives defending our country. Jesus again said in our text in John 15, 13, in the New Living Translation, he said, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Our servicemen and servicewomen have been willing to do that very thing since the founding of our nation. Some historical annals estimate that more than 1 million Americans have died in wars all around the world, fighting for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. Many of you here today probably have friends or relatives who served our country with distinction, who may not have come back home alive. On this Memorial Day, we pause with you to remember them for giving their lives fighting for the freedom that we enjoy today. As Christians, however, Memorial Day is also an opportunity for us to remember Jesus. Amen. For it was Jesus who sacrificed his life so that you and I could have eternal life. Amen. Inscribed on just about every communion table, including our own, I've seen the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Those words come directly from Jesus. They come directly from the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. The New King James Version says, the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In a sense, for every Christian, every Sunday actually is Memorial Day. Come on, somebody. I mean, every time we gather around the table, every time we gather in the sanctuary, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on every one of our behalf. Amen. Respectfully, I say this respectfully too, especially to my families and veterans. The world's greatest memorial really isn't the Lincoln Memorial. And it really isn't even the Vietnam War Memorial. The greatest memorial is not even recognized by most historians, teach Holy Ghost. It wasn't even designed by renowned artists and is never mentioned in any travel magazines. The greatest memorial was established by God himself when he established the Lord's Supper as a memorial to his sacrifice that he made through the crucifixion of his son. And as Christians, you and I come together, especially on Communion Sunday, as a reminder of the ultimate sacrifice, teach Holy Ghost, the Lord's sacrifice some 2,000 plus years ago. And we keep on remembering day in and day out. Inscribed at the base of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. are these words: in this temple, as in the hearts of the people for whom he saved the Union, the memory of Abraham Lincoln is enshrined forever. Well, in the same way, the Lord's Supper was begun as a living memory, as a living memorial to enshrine the memory of Jesus in each and every one of our hearts. Amen. That's what Memorial Day is all about. It's about remembering. It's about remembering the ones, and it's about remembering the one. Come on, somebody. Who sacrificed it all for all of our freedoms. But in addition, Memorial Day not only is a day for remembering, Memorial Day is a day for rejoicing. As Americans, we can rejoice in the freedoms that we have in this country. The men and the women who have given their lives in service of our country didn't do so for nothing. Y'all didn't hear me in here. They didn't die for nothing. They died fighting for freedom. And they died fighting for our freedoms. And it's that freedom that we celebrate on Memorial Day. Because men and women have died for this country, we even have the freedom to worship freely. We have the freedom to preach the word of God. We have the freedom to assemble, to come in and say thank you to the God we love. Why is that a big deal? Why is it that we somehow take that for granted? Here it is, because we haven't done the research. I did some research, Brother Brent, and I researched and discovered that there are approximately 51 countries in the world today where we could be imprisoned or even killed for wearing a t-shirt with the image of a cross or the words of scripture printed on it. Amen. Tomorrow, when you're gathered around the picnic table, or gathered around the kitchen table and it's full of a big old barbecue spread, make sure that you give thanks. Not just for the food, but you give thanks for freedom. Come on, somebody. Amen. You give thanks for the freedom that we enjoy here in America. Top the hill in Washington, D.C., stands the Capitol building of the United States. The cornerstone of the Capitol building, Keeling, was laid in 1793. But the crowning piece is the statue that some people miss on top of the dome of the Capitol building. I'm here to teach just a little bit. And the top of the statue on top of the rotunda is known as the Statue of Freedom. It was placed there in 1863. The Statue of Freedom is actually a female figure with long flowing hair who stands nearly 20 feet tall atop of the dome. She has a crest of stars around her face, and she has a crest of stars that are around her face and a shield of stars and stripes that are in her left hand. Sculpted in Rome, this lady was brought to America aboard a sailing ship. During that trip across the Atlantic Ocean, a fierce storm developed. The captain ordered a cargo thrown overboard to lighten the load. Anybody heard that story before? Come on, somebody. He ordered the cargo thrown overboard to lighten the load. Watch this. The sailors wanted to throw the heavy statue overboard, but the captain refused. He shouted over the wind that was blowing. I come to teach this morning. He says, no, never will flounder before we throw freedom away. And so the statue of freedom, or Lady Freedom, was saved. And the statue stands above the dome today. Watch this, because one man stood for freedom. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, here it is. We can enjoy freedom today because one man. Come on, somebody. Stood for freedom. But even as Americans, because of the men and women who stood and failed in defense of that freedom, that's why you and I can rejoice. Because if you're a child of God, I'm talking to a few in here, we can rejoice in the freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ. So as we participate, the freedom that we have in Christ, remembering him who died for each and every one of us, continue to be amazed and tickled about this story through the end of the quarter that we've been talking about with Jonah. And we still seem to be so hard on Jonah. And I think I heard it said best. Somebody said, I don't want to give the wrong credit, but somebody said we all got a little Jonah in us. We all could put our name where Jonah's name is written. And be careful. Don't be fooled by folk you see sitting next to you and smiling at you, because not everybody smiling back at you likes you. And we need to recognize that before, even as a child of God, we got to be careful wearing our halo too tight. We forget that God had to save our raggedy behinds one day, and it wasn't that long ago. Amen. But here's where I'm going with that. We kind of hard on Jonah because Jonah didn't want to go and be a witness to some folk that he had deemed he didn't like, and he said they deserved to die. Well, the beauty of it is God says, even for some folk that we can't stand, even for some folk that we done put on the do not disturb me and I ain't gonna disturb you list. Come on, somebody. God says, I died even for them. I died for them too. And it didn't take any more grace to wake them up than it took to wake you up. And it didn't take any more type of blood to wash their sins as it does you and I. We are all covered by the same blood. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we rejoice and celebrate for all of our freedoms. I don't care how smug we look. Christ, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, Christ even had to die for you. There it is. Amen. Amen. It's fitting to remember the one who died to set us free from spiritual tyranny, because it was Jesus who fought the armies of Satan that we might have freedom in his holy name. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1 in the NIV, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus died in order to set us free from sin. Died to set us free primarily from the penalty of sin. He died to set us free from death and so much more. The truth is, the only way to experience true freedom is to experience it through Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation and freedom comes from what Jesus has done for you and what he has done for me. It's not what you or I would do for him. It's what he has done for us. We can't earn and we don't earn God's love, but we are invited to enjoy it. We are invited to experience it, and we are invited to embrace it. Just as our American freedoms have been bought and paid with the blood of the soldiers past and present, our eternal freedom has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And that is something, my brothers and sisters, that you and I can rejoice about. So Memorial Day is a day for remembering. It's a day for rejoicing. But finally, Memorial Day is a day for ringing out. And it's a day for ringing out the message of God's saving grace. One of the most prominent symbols of freedom in the United States is the Liberty Bell. Y'all know I love to read, right? The Liberty Bell hangs today in the historic district of Philadelphia. It's been called an icon of liberty. And it's an icon of liberty and justice. And it's famous for its most famous ringing was back in July 8th, 1776, when it sounded of the Liberty Bell rang out from the tile of Independence Hall, summoning citizens all around to hear the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence by Colonel John Nixon. In that historic moment, the Liberty Bell fulfilled the purpose designated by its inscription. On the Liberty Bell, it is inscribed, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land until all the inhabitants thereof." But can I tell you something? Can I teach? If you go to Philadelphia and you look at the Liberty Bell, matter of fact, you don't even have to travel to Philadelphia. Just Google it. Just Google it. Google inscription on the Liberty Bell. It says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land until all the inhabitants thereof." But what you might not find on Google, you might have to do a little deeper research, probably on the second or third page, because, you know, we only go about one page and then we stop researching. The inscription, though, is actually taken from the Bible. It's actually taken from Leviticus 25, verse 10. And if you go to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, you'll see those very words. Why is that a big deal? Because we have to see, listen, you always have to have your antenna up. And you always have to see the hand of God in everything. Listen, I know what church I'm in, a Baptist church, speaking to Baptist folk full of African Americans. I know our history, but we got to know the entire history of the world. Amen. I get it. I understand all of that. But until we get into the word of the Lord, and until we go deeper into our history studies and not just rely on black history studies, come on, somebody, we got to get the whole story. And even with the Liberty Bell, you got to see that the hand of God is inscribed in that. Have y'all turned there yet? Some of y'all got your Bibles. Leviticus 25 and 10. And if you do that, you will find a portion of those world. And it was about Jubilee. Amen. See, the purpose of the bell flows out of God's word. But so what? So does our purpose flow out of God's word. God has the same purpose for our lives today, to proclaim liberty that is only available through Jesus Christ. Think about it. Think about this. No matter where you live in the world, no matter where you go and visit in the world, whether we're American, African, Australian, Asian, etc., Paul reminds us that we all have a common need for the gift of God. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and through 24 says, "Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." That's why, learn your history. Know your history. Know where you came from. But understand where you're going, covered by the blood of Jesus. Because all of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. There's a place called heaven, and there's a place called hell. And I've never been to either place, but I believe God. I believe the word of God. And while the Bible says that he desires that none would perish, he understands that as a result of free will, God doesn't send people to hell. People choose. God desires that none would perish, but would have everlasting life. But understand, he's talking about everlasting life with him, because we're going to live eternally somewhere. But it's up to us to ring out that kind of liberty, even to some folk that we might not like and think that don't like us, even to some folk that don't look like us and we don't look like them. But we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Would it be simpler? I don't know. You tell me. Would it be simpler if all of us could have a label with S or L on our foreheads? You know what I'm talking about? Either saved or lost. There's no in between. You either saved or lost. Maybe I should go this, sheep or goat. There's no in between. You either saved or you're lost. You're either sheep or you're goat. You're either hot or you're cold. There is no lukewarm. And if you choose to be lukewarm, God said that would make him sick. Amen. But do you really believe that that would make things simpler? Would you still find your confidence to witness to somebody if they had an L on their forehead? I don't know. Would you find your confidence? Because here's the problem. There are some saved folk who aren't confident in their own salvation. Some of the reasons why some folk that don't know that we're even a Christian is because we're afraid to make it publicly known, because we don't want anybody to ask us questions. We don't want anybody to ask us questions. And that's why we make it a joke, but it's sometimes true. That's why when y'all see the Jehovah's Witnesses marching up the street, we run and hide like roaches when the lights come on. Pulling the shades down. Telling everybody to be quiet. Shh. But they walk with confidence. And they walk with understanding. And they walk with a determination that will not be stopped, regardless of what, because of what they feel like they believe is truth. What about us? What about us? We have to ring out with liberty. We have to not just know the scriptures. People will believe more of a Bible that they read in your life than we can quote out our mouths. We have to know and believe and remember not only on tomorrow about those who fought for the cause of freedom, but we need to fight. We need to remember the one who sought because of the freedom that we all needed. As I get ready to close, at the outbreak of the Revolutionary War, the American statesman Patrick Henry uttered the famous phrase. He says, "Give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death." And it became a slogan for the revolution. Liberty or death. There were no other options. The state motto, the motto of some of our states, one of the states that I looked at was New Hampshire. Theirs was, on their plate, it says, "Live or die." In other words, there's just some folk who take freedom seriously. Amen. As a Christian, we must take our freedom seriously. But can I tell somebody, every now and then, I'm not saying that we can't take it seriously, but also take it joyously. Amen. I've said this joke before, and it's true, never here at First Baptist, but maybe at some churches I visit, that every now and then you might want to walk out into the pews and ask, "Are you saved?" And as soon as they say, "Yeah," I don't know what they're going to tell me. I have to believe what they tell me. If they say yes, then I'm going to say, "Tell your face." Because we got to look saved. And the reason why some folk don't want what we have is because it doesn't look like it's doing us much good. As a matter of fact, there's some folk who walk in the street who look happy and they skipping. And I come from a household that said no skipping, my brother. But I'm just saying. Keeling, did you hear what I... Y'all catch that back on the replay. But there's some folk walking the street who look happier than some folk in church. Take freedom seriously, but take it joyously. It's an awesome thing to be free, or as the Bible says, to be free indeed. We celebrate Memorial Day not only as a day to remember those who gave their lives to give America her freedom, but as a day to remember and rejoice about the message of Jesus the Christ, who gave his life not just to give us freedom, but to guarantee our eternal freedom. So celebrate not only this weekend or today, but celebrate on tomorrow, along with the nation founded on our freedom. But let's celebrate as a people who have discovered and want to share the ultimate freedom in Jesus. There are no other viable options for lasting freedom, my brothers and my sisters. This freedom in Christ causes us to celebrate. It's to be shared. It's to be lived out day by day of our lives. It is for the freedom that Christ has truly set us free. So as the doors of the church are open, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and every heart is praying.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.